For those who like a little bit of everything in their podcast, it's Kettlecast with Mark Bezita.
Welcome to the first ever episode of Kettlecast, where we provide you with a nice mix of information and entertainment all right here. Hi, I'm Mark Bezita, library assistant at Kettle's downtown Lansing branch, along with Trenton Smiley, turning all the knobs.
Hey, Mark, how you doing today?
Great, thanks. Now, I've been working in the library since 1990 BI.
Okay, now what does BI mean?
Before internet.
Oh.
There was a time. I was looking for a part-time job, and my parents suggested that I think about applying at the library. After all, I had been coming to the downtown Lansing library since I was a kid. Most every Saturday, my dad and I would drive downtown. Now, back then, the children's area was on the third floor of the building, and I remember checking out books ranging from Judy Blume to Choose Your Own Adventures, borrowing record albums so I could play DJ at home.
Okay, like the old 33s, like the K-Tales?
Those are the ones, exactly right. And even asking the librarian, Mrs. McDougall, how to find books our teacher had read to us at school. Well, watching the library continually transform over the years has been amazing. When the internet was first coming around in the mid-1990s, the library only had one computer station.
Wow.
And it sat over in the corner, only being used a few times a day. But libraries adapted, bringing in more and more computers over the years, trying to meet those patron needs. And today, the library continues to transform and meet patrons with their interests, ranging from ebooks to our great Kettle app.
Okay.
So today on our first podcast, we'll talk with Kettle's new executive director, Scott Dymstra, about some of the upcoming things the library has in store this fall and the upcoming year. We'll also talk with Kettle's collection development team about how materials are selected and how anyone can suggest titles for us to order.
Wow, that's a big job.
Absolutely. And we took a trip over to Wharton Center to talk with them about their shows this season and how Kettle cardholders can get a discount on select shows.
Nice.
And finally, with the anniversary of September 11th, we'll talk to a woman who's showing memorial quilts in this area in remembrance of those who lost their lives that day. It's all coming up right here on Kettlecast.
Imagine if you could borrow a telescope, GoPro, or sewing machine from the library. Well, now you can. Introducing Library of Things from Capital Area District Libraries. Borrow items that range from playful to practical. Just visit cadl.org/things or stop by any Kettle branch to get started. Also, check out a Michigan Activity Pass for money-saving offers for museums, campgrounds, state parks, and more. Some restrictions may apply. Capital Area District Libraries. Everything right here.
Welcome back to Kettlecast with Mark Bezita.
Scott Dymstra is Kettle's new executive director. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I've been the executive director for about 3 months now. Before that, I was the senior associate director for 5 years. I've worked in a variety of roles in Kettle. I began as a librarian at a Hazlitt branch in 2005. For a majority of my life, I've actually worked in libraries. I started out as a page in Grand Rapids Public Library way back when I was a teenager.
Nice.
Yeah.
So libraries have always meant something to
you. They have been. I mean, even back then, I knew it was just something that, in any different type of capacity, a place that I wanted to work in.
Right. How would you describe Kettle to someone who hasn't used the library in a long time?
Well, I'd say that we're very multifaceted. So it's difficult to define the library as one thing, like, say, a place for books. While we do have books, we also have things like tablets, Wi-Fi hotspots, sewing machines. But we also have services. So services like help creating a resume, digital services like learn web design or how to build an app, or even services like story times that help build literacy tools for your children.
Mm-hmm. It's no longer just one thing.
Correct.
I think there's still a stereotype that libraries just mean printed books.
Exactly. And if you walk in any of our spaces, you'll recognize the change. A lot of them are very open, and that's to kind of meet the various ways that people use our libraries. Whether they just want to browse for books, we'll have that, but we'll also have study space. We'll have space to plug in your devices and also space for your children to just learn and explore.
Right. No, that's great. Describe a little bit about how a district library works.
Sure.
The funding and that sort of thing, too.
Sure. Well, we serve 23 municipalities in Ingham County. For the municipalities that host one of our 13 branches, the municipality supplies the building, and then we provide the staff, the collection of materials, the furniture, the shelving, and the technology that goes into the building. Mm-hmm. And for our funding, a majority of it comes from our millages, and those millages are passed by the voters, and they usually last for 4 years, with our last one being in a renewal, which was in 2014.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and you're only in this, been in this job now just, you know, a few months.
Correct.
But share with us some of the exciting things that are happening at CATL.
Sure. Well, it's difficult to find a place on where to begin because we are doing some very great stuff. But some of the exciting projects that we're doing, we just added 4 new story walks. So we had our original one in Hazlitt. We have one now in Aurelius, mm-hmm. In Holt, and Leslie, and one in Fenner Nature Center as well.
And I've been seeing the Facebook posts with all the pictures of them, and
yeah,
people just
fantastic.
Love those.
Yeah, they are fantastic. Collection-wise, we continue to add titles to our digital collection, which we see growth every month. We're also gearing up for fall programs, which is going to focus on magic. And then we'll have our annual winter events with rooftop reindeers visiting all of our branches.
Always a popular event.
Exactly.
Around
exactly.
Holiday time. Yeah, yeah. No, that's great. Well, and one of the things, too, the Library of Things collection.
Yeah.
That is another one that is just incredibly
popular.
It is. Popular.
It is. It continues to expand. We'll also get more copies of the popular items, mm-hmm. but we also seek to add new items to that collection as we continue to see it grow.
Just like new books coming in all the time, new things to the
exactly.
Library of Things, too.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's really exciting. What are some of the challenges you've faced so far?
How long do we have for this podcast? So, I'm just kidding. It's been challenging, but one of the challenges is just being responsible for the entire organization. So when a problem arises, I'm usually the last answer for that problem. And so that's been a learning curve for myself. Luckily, I've had time to prepare for taking over this position, but mm-hmm. nothing kind of really prepares you until you actually do the job. One of the things that I'm lucky for is I'm surrounded by a group of talented and experienced members of our management team, which they are fantastic to work with. And also just our staff, our overall staff is very, very, very supportive. And it's very easy when you work for a great organization like CATL.
Mm-hmm. No, that's great. Well, and I think the hosts of the CATL cast will get a 50% raise. I thought that was a nice touch for the new executive director.
I don't think we've signed off on that one
yet. Do we have
yet,
that on recording?
Yeah,
I'll check that.
We have to look at the
play
2018
the tape
budget
back here.
For you.
Well, now, CATL just finished a backpack drive for St. Vincent Catholic Charities. Why is it so important for the library to give back to the community?
Well, when we, I mentioned earlier that we run on millages, and when the voters go out and vote for whether they should continue our funding, we see that as how much should they support us, and we get fantastic support, close to 80% for our last millage, and so when we have the opportunity, we want to give back to the community as well. And mm-hmm. we also get a lot of support from community-based organizations like St. Vincent Catholic Charities. Mm-hmm. And so whenever they want to partner with us, we're more than happy to do that. And it was just a way for us to kind of give back to the community and give back to those in need, and also help support a community-based organization that has given us much support.
Yes, well, that's very, very well said. And the, yeah, the community plays such an important role in the library world, and
yep.
not just in all the municipalities.
Correct.
I mean, it's a
Correct.
Very important.
Yeah. So we are more than happy to give back when we have the opportunity.
Absolutely. So you touched on some of these things earlier, but tell us again about some of the new things that will be
sure.
coming to CATL.
Sure. Well, later this year and in the 2018, one thing that is going to be a very big focus for us is just to increase internet access and Wi-Fi access to our service area. So one big project that we're working on is called TV White Space. And not to go into too much technical details, what it's going to allow us to do is to actually broadcast our Wi-Fi signal from our downtown Lansing branch to Letts Community Center and to the Southside Community Coalition. And this is going to be our pilot project. We hope to expand it to more rural and urban and our suburban locations. Mm-hmm. But it just gives us an opportunity to, where access might be an issue in certain areas, to actually provide what we have, a very strong fiber connection to some of these areas that, that would also need it. And to help with that, too, we're expanding our mobile hotspot collection that you can actually check out and take home. Mm-hmm. Again, what we really want to highlight is whether it's an affordability issue or it's an issue that you can't get a commercial provider at home, we still want to provide that access because we know not just recreationally, but educationally and maybe for your job as well, that internet access is such an important need
right.
For the community now.
Well, and the term used to be closing the digital gap.
Correct.
Was, you know, a phrase that people heard, especially in the
Correct.
Early years of the World Wide
yeah.
Web and all of that.
And
but
it's still,
that's still true, isn't it?
It is. It's still much more important, especially as students now get either a tablet or a laptop in school. And if you have to take that home and you don't have the connectivity at home to actually use it, then it's pretty much like a very expensive paperweight.
Mm-hmm.
And so
right.
What we want to do is we want to actually increase the access. And we mentioned the Library of Things. We're continuing to expand that. So mm-hmm. We'll get pretty creative in some of the stuff that we add to that.
Yes.
2018 is actually going to be big for us, too. We're going to start a community reads. And so our patrons will start to see some titles that they can vote on this September. And then we'll kind of carry that. Once we finalize the author, we'll schedule an author visit. We'll read the title that was voted on and bring the author in 2018. So it should be a pretty exciting year for us.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Lots of fun stuff. And this is only just a few months in. So who knows, a year from now,
exactly.
We talk to you, who
yeah,
knows what
I know.
To expect,
I shouldn't
right?
do too much because then it's, the bar is going to be too high.
So, right, yeah. right. No, that's great. Well, congratulations on everything you've accomplished so far. And obviously, we'll look forward to the months and years ahead with cattle. And
thank you so much. And one last plug that I want to give is to, I have an executive director blog on our website to check it out. I talk about some services that we have or some kind of goals that we're trying to do for the organization. So if you kind of want to see what we're working on or what we will work on, check out that blog post.
Sounds good. Scott Dimstra, Cattle's new executive director. Thank you very much.
You're listening to CattleCast.
Jessica Trotter, Sherry McConnell, and Maricela Garza are Cattle's collection development team. And all three of them have joined me today on the CattleCast. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Jessica, tell me, what is a collection development specialist? That's a pretty fancy title.
It is, but what we do is select the materials for cattle's collections, the majority of it. Your books, audiobooks, digital titles, music, movies, TV shows, it's our job to select those materials and get them through the collection, and we each have areas that we're responsible for.
Okay, so what are each of those areas? Like, Mari, what's yours?
I work in children's or juvenile collections where I order young adult materials as well as kids' books, movies, graphic novels, family movies, and also music for kids.
And Sherry, what about you?
I order adult nonfiction as well as adult DVD and Blu-ray and adult music CDs.
And that leaves?
That leaves me, and I order adult fiction, fiction and nonfiction audiobooks, and then I am also the selector for the Overdrive digital collection as well.
Okay, so basically, nearly everything in Cattle's collection, one of you is responsible for getting into the system. Is that right?
There's some exceptions, but basically, we mm-hmm. get all them.
And I know that patrons actually can suggest titles for purchase. They may see a book, something they see on TV or in a bookstore, and they want to know if the library can get it, if we don't already have it. So there is a process for that. Is that right, Sherry?
That's right. And we welcome patron suggestions. We really want to provide the materials that patrons are interested in and will use. And so we really welcome those suggestions. You can make suggestions at any branch by filling out a comment card, or we have an online form to fill out. And you can find that by going to our homepage, clicking on the green catalog search tab at the top of the page. And on the next page, you scroll down to the bottom, see that search or see make a purchase suggestion. Click on that, and it'll take you to the form.
Okay. And do you order all of the suggestions that come in, or there has to be a few things that you probably can't get?
Well, I wish I could. However, we do, Cattle does have a collection development policy and a selection policy that we do follow. And there are... we try to fulfill as much as possible. Sometimes we cannot get or we cannot fulfill a purchase suggestion, possibly because of price. It's not available. We also want to order things that will appeal to or can be used by quite a few patrons. And so something that is very specialized that might be of use to one patron. Unfortunately, we can't fulfill all of those because it is too specialized to fulfill. Mm-hmm.
And do you ever even get, you know, requests for things that are too new or movies that are currently playing in the theater, perhaps, something
very
like that?
Very definitely. it's hard to, we do take those kinds of suggestions under consideration, but we can't do anything with the movies that are still in the theater. There is a limit to how far forward we can request materials and have them going through our purchasing system.
What's an average amount of time? Is there such a thing? I mean, like, are we talking just 2 or 3 months ahead of publication?
I would say it's like 2 months. Yeah. If it's 6 months in advance, we might not even see a record for it yet, but it's likely that we're going to order it, and you can wait until then and put a request in then, but about 2 months, mm-hmm. I would say.
And there's also a place on our website that people can see the new orders that come in. Is that right? So that people who want to know just the new stuff coming through, you can actually find that on the website too, right?
Yes, and those actually do include people's purchase suggestions as well. I mean, so people can request when they fill out the form, one of the things it asks is if you want a hold place for you. So that's one way of knowing what's going on. If we purchase it, you will get that hold place for you. But the other thing is that those items do generally show up in the new order.
And we try to fulfill the orders quickly. When somebody puts in a purchase suggestion on the website, it comes directly to us. So we see it the same day, the same minute. And we try to review those on a weekly basis and try to get those orders in. So they don't sit there. And so some people may wonder, you know, has somebody seen my purchase suggestion? Absolutely. And we try to get to them quickly.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier about, you know, there is a selection policy in place, and not that we want to sit here and read it out word for word, but can you just kind of very, very briefly summarize just kind of how that works or what the criteria might be? I mean, do things have to have a certain number of reviews or that sort of thing in order to have a suggestion purchased? Or even just for general ordering, I guess.
Well, again, it has to be something that can be used by a number of patrons, so it has to have general appeal. Mm-hmm. We do order some specialized things, but when I see something, somebody wants a book for a class, as an example, if I think it's something that lots of people, if they're studying a topic, then you know, yes, absolutely, I'll get this title that will help somebody through a class. We also have to take cost into consideration. If something is very expensive and is just outside of the norm for what we normally pay for a particular item, we can't fulfill some suggestion like that just because we couldn't fill those kinds of orders for everybody. So we do have to take cost into consideration. I don't know if you think of any other items from the policy.
Yeah.
We do tend towards materials that have been reviewed. Mm-hmm. So that is something.
Some criteria there for it, sure. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Get an idea of
right
what it looks like.
Yeah.
But beyond that, no, we really do try to fill things.
It's got to be a fun job in a lot of ways. I mean, just kind of almost you feel like you're ahead of everybody else, just knowing all the stuff coming and all that. It's got to be fun. And before you leave, though, we want to see, can you each of you just kind of give us a brief idea of something that you're reading, watching, or listening to right now, or something that you think people might be interested in?
Sure. I'm currently reading The Lake Effect by Erin McCahan. It's actually a young adult fiction book. And probably the main reason I picked it up is because it's set in Michigan, in Grand Haven, Michigan, Lake Michigan. How could you not want to read about this story? I love all things Michigan, and especially fiction books that feature some aspect of our beautiful state.
Yeah, great. Jessica?
I was thinking about this, and I fell in love with this. It's a short, weird Western. It's a science fiction, fantasy, alternate history thing. With man-eating hippos, because evidently there was a period of time when the United States thought that they were going to replace the cattle industry with hippos. Well, and
is that
this
right?
Is a fantasy writer decided to run with that idea, and it's a strange little novella from Tor called River of Teeth by Sarah Gailey.
Okay.
And I'm listening to Royal Mint by the Icebox Kings. It's a Chicago blues band. It was more of a regional band, and it's now gone national, and it's fun to listen to.
Sounds great. Well, a fun job you have, I'm sure, and a lot of work as well, but thank you for joining us today, and we'd like to have you come back, you know, in future podcasts and talk about all the things that you're reading and listening to and all that good stuff. You can check out the staff picks section at cattle.org for more information, and the Book Sleuth event is coming up on September 21st, where you can post the last three books that you've read on our Facebook and Twitter pages and have our team of librarians and readers make some suggestions of books or titles that you might enjoy. So, Jessica, Sherry, and Mari, thank you for joining us today on the Cattlecast.
RB Digital is a service that allows you to download magazines like Highlights, 17, HGTV, and Forbes for free with a library card. Capital Area District Libraries. Everything right here.
Welcome back to Cattlecast with Mark Bazzito.
I can cast a spell, secrets you can tell. Makes a special brew, put fire inside of you. Anytime you feel danger.
Tara Poplowski and Bob Hoffman are with the Wharton Center for Performing Arts and join us now to talk about the upcoming season. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Hi, thanks for having us.
So you've both been involved with this for a long time, but give us just a little bit of background on each of you.
Well, I've been here at Wharton Center for almost 6 years now, but my background came really from the arena business and doing concerts and things like that at Breslin Center for about 10 years. So I say the performing arts Broadway world is kind of a new thing to me, but not really anymore.
I've been here 17 years, and my background is media. So.
Yes.
And that's what I do here, basically, is I am the public relations manager, so I work with the media and promoting the shows and trying to get those interviews set up so people really know what's happening at the Wharton Center.
Right. Well, and the Wharton Center is such a great venue for, you know, and has been for so many years. Bob, just give us a little bit of a brief background on the history of Wharton Center.
Yeah, it started in 1982 is when it was opened. And at that time, we didn't necessarily get Broadway shows that stayed for an entire week. They called split weeks. So you might get it for 2 days or 2.5 days, and then it would move on.
Okay.
But then, as we started, you know, going on, Wharton Center would get some of the major hits. And I think really it changed with the first time Phantom of the Opera came through, and we made history throughout the country as selling the most tickets. We even beat Broadway for ticket sales with the first time Phantom of the Opera was here. So I think that kind of put Wharton Center on the map, and producers started looking at us. And now we get all the major Broadway hits. So if you're going to see something in New York, you can without a doubt know that when it goes on tour, it's going to come to Wharton Center.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's and be cool. Much more affordable too.
Absolutely. Well, and speaking of that, there's a great season of shows ahead, and we wanted to get just a little sneak peek of some of the things coming up this season.
Yeah, we're real excited about our 17-18 season, and, you know, we have a whole gamut of performing arts shows as well as Broadway, and we'll kind of highlight some of the Broadway here, which the Broadway opens October 17th with The Bodyguard, mm-hmm. which we're really excited about. It's nice, number one, to have a title that people know, but the songs, there's 13 amazing songs in this show that everybody knows. Mm-hmm.
Starring Deborah Cox, who really made a name for herself in the 90s as a pop sensation.
Right.
And so she's starring in The Bodyguard. And it is one of those shows that everyone knows. It's based on the movie The Bodyguard. And it's really incredible. We've actually yet to see it, but everything we hear about it is it's incredible. One show that we did just see was American in Paris. Tara and I, through our jobs, are able to go see some shows before they come to Wharton Center. And American in Paris, which is coming in November, was just recently in Chicago, and we loved
it.
That's a classic title, too.
It is. It is. And, you know, another one based on an old movie, but completely different. And in fact, when we went to see it, Bob kind of wasn't really looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. And we walked out of there in awe. The sets and the dancing. And the dancing is ballet-based, but it really, you don't have to be into ballet to just love this musical. The songs are songs that you know, and the dancing is amazing.
But the animation that's part of the sets is absolutely incredible. Something I've never seen before mm-hmm. in another Broadway show. It's just beautiful. And the dancing really comes alive in the story and thus comes alive. And so you are really, I forgot that we were mm-hmm. in a show and it was that good where you forget where you are and you're just so wrapped up in everything. So it was incredible.
And American in Paris will be good for families of all ages, really. Mm-hmm. But then
Speaking
in December
for families.
December 12th through the 17th, we have Finding Neverland. And that really is something to look forward to, especially in December when you really want to do something with your whole family. Maybe you have family in town celebrating the holidays and you want to get together. The kids have some time off of school. It's a perfect thing.
This is a show that tells the story of J.M. Barrie's struggles to find inspiration. He's the one who wrote Peter Pan, and it really tells his story of struggling to find the inspiration to tell the next story, to tell the big story. And there's some magic in this show that I've never seen before. This is another show, honestly, I went to when I saw it in New York and thought, I don't want to see it because it's a kid's show and I'm not going to like it. And it's I was completely wrong about that. It's not a kid's show. It's an amazing show that every adult will get into, I think. And
another recognizable story for people.
Right.
You know, something that may take them back to their childhood in some ways, mm-hmm. but at the same time, there's some history and background.
Because telling the story of J.M. Barrie, some of his stories, like Peter Pan, come to life. Mm-hmm. And so
it's magical.
It's magical. Yeah,
That's right.
Fun.
It is. And then coming in January 23rd through the 28th, is the a wonderfully amazing show, Waitress, which is music by 6-time Grammy nominee Sarah Bareilles. And that's kind of, need I really even say more?
Yeah, you've been hearing a lot about this lately because Sarah Bareilles actually went to Broadway and starred. After she wrote the music for the show, she actually was in Waitress for a while.
Right.
She probably won't be in Waitress here, but you can definitely be in store for a great show at Wharton Center. And actually, they're going to be making pies here, too.
I know.
So Waitress is a story about Jenna, a waitress, an expert pie maker. And really, Jenna dreams of her way out of her small town and her loveless marriage. And so it kind of follows her story. And I think lots of people can relate to this.
I think so too. I think so too. And in February 13th through the 18th, we have something that Bob and I got to experience together in New York, which is On Your Feet.
It was so funny. Mm-hmm. We were like on our feet.
I bet.
Were it's incredible. It says a story of Emilio and Gloria Estefan.
Yes.
And their humble beginnings to superstars mm-hmm. in the scene, Miami Sound Machine, and their story of how, you know, they became famous. And I think what was really interesting to me that I was surprised by is how much discrimination they faced when they first started out. Because okay. you just, they're so incredibly yeah. talented that I had no idea that they struggled so much to get where they are.
Right.
And lots of producers said, nobody's going to like your sound.
And, yeah. And their story wow. is so amazing and it's so hopeful. And it really is told through the song and the dance, and it's so incredible.
And her music is so recognizable
is.
And so popular.
And that's great. Kind of it. You're sitting in the audience, and they'll sing one of her songs and be like, oh my gosh, I love that yeah. song. Right.
I think when we saw it in New York, the lady next to us was singing.
Yeah, well, I think we were too a little bit. But it's one of those where I haven't heard those songs in a long time, and I forget how much I love those
sure.
songs. So, you know.
And
I
how came, you know every single
yeah,
song.
Yeah, I came back and right. put yeah. it on Spotify.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. And then we have something for everyone coming March 13th through the 18th. It's Something Rotten.
10 Tony nominations, including Best Musical.
Wow.
Tara and I got to see
this one
together. And yeah. It's really
it's
funny.
It's really, really, really funny.
It tells the story of the Bottom Brothers in 1590. And they are, at the same time, Shakespeare's there. And Shakespeare's like the rock star of the time. He's producing these amazing plays mm-hmm. and so they want to compete with Shakespeare. They want to be famous, and so
right.
Shakespeare kind of helps them a little bit and says, well, the next big thing is the musical. And so it's kind of a farce, and so all yeah. of a sudden you have this, they see this I don't want to say psychic, what did they call her,
a soothsayer
oh,
yes.
who envisions all these future musicals. It's
right.
hilarious. It's
right.
so much fun.
Right, so they set out and write the first musical, and it really is funny. And that's something that the whole family will enjoy as well.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm, you know, hearing is that there are so many shows, but there really is something for everyone, for all different ages. And, you know, you talked about, you know, families and stuff like that. They're just in one season alone, you can get a little something for so many different people.
That's Wharton Center's programming, I think. You know, I mean, there is something for everyone here. If you're into jazz, if you're into classical music, if you're into theater, if you're into
dance.
Broadway, mm-hmm. if you're into dance, I mean, you're going to find something for everyone. But I don't necessarily even think that you have to be into any of those to enjoy some of the programming.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big things that I always say every year is step outside your comfort zone and see something that you may not necessarily see.
Right.
And it's fun to
well,
do
and we
that.
Just said that. How many of those shows that we thought, oh, I don't know about
yeah,
that or whatever.
American
and
Paris.
Oh my gosh, and here we are. We can't say enough about
yeah.
right.
about the things on our season. And really, speaking of that, the closer for this season in terms of Broadway will be coming next summer, which is a 3-week run of The Lion King in July.
That's a biggie.
And that's a biggie. I mean, people have been asking for this to come back here for years.
Right.
Maybe have experienced before or didn't get to experience, want to bring their kids,
mm-hmm.
Bring the next generation to see The Lion King, and we're really, really excited about it.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
But there is just really so much for everyone at Wharton Center, and especially children. I mean, we have a great children's selection with the Act One series with The Cat in the Hat, Dragons Love Tacos, Clementine, Moon Mouse, A Space yeah. Odyssey.
Things based on books.
Yeah.
That you can find in the library.
That's a good connection there. I like that.
And then this year we're doing something different. We're offering sensory-friendly performances
okay.
for people on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a wonderful opportunity for them to really get out with their family and see something and experience live theater. So.
Right. Great opportunity for that. Well, and, you know, back to libraries, Cattle members actually have a chance to receive discounts on selected shows, too.
They do, and I'm really excited about our partnership with Cattle. We started a little bit last season, towards the end of the season, and tried out a few shows mm-hmm. and see how that works, but we've kind of gone the full gamut and are now offering, through this partnership to Cattle members, a discount to select performances of the Broadway shows. So every Broadway show is on there. Select performances, it's usually Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Mm-hmm. You can purchase with your code those tickets. But something else is we actually have for you The Lion King, which you can't get Lion King tickets unless you're a subscriber right now, because it doesn't go on sale to the general public until, I think, March.
Okay.
So you're able to purchase select performances, all zones
available. That's huge. That's really a good opportunity, because people are calling me saying, okay, how do I get Lion King tickets? Because they're not subscribers. So
right.
As long as they're a cattle member, they can.
It's a really good benefit.
That's a great deal. Well, and people can visit cattle.org and see the special Wharton Center discount. Just click on the banner that's right on our homepage, and they can get all that information right on there.
Sounds great.
Yes. Well, an exciting season is ahead, and I know you probably are both working, you know, we're just getting around to the season, but you're probably already working ahead to the coming year or two, I suppose.
Oh, I tell you, we know some of the things that are there on the season for a couple of seasons from now. You know, it's just, they work ahead that far.
Right.
You know, and yes, we're totally immersed into this season, but, you know, it's always on your mind what's next.
Right. Well, it's exciting. Thank you for your continued partnership with Capital Area District Libraries, and we look forward to the great shows that lie ahead this coming season.
Thanks.
Tara Poplowski and Bob Hoffman for Wharton Center for Performing Arts.
It's 8:52 here in New York. I'm Bryant Gumbel. We understand that there has been a plane crash on the southern tip of Manhattan. You're looking at the World Trade Center. We understand that a plane has crashed into the World Trade Center.
On Tuesday, our country was attacked with deliberate and massive cruelty. On this National Day of Prayer and Remembrance, we ask Almighty God to watch over our nation and grant us patience and resolve in all that is to come.
As the anniversary of September 11th approaches, we are joined now by Beverly Kimmon. Beverly is known as the Keeper of the Quilts, a 9/11 World Trade Center Memorial Quilt Project. Beverly, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us what this quilt project actually is. Now, this isn't something that you started, but you have since become the keeper of.
Yeah. Amy Sue Leisure started it in 2001. She put out advertisement asking for donated quilt blocks, specific size, color, red, white, and blues, and star patterns. She passed away in 2002, and Brian Kohler then took it over and finished it, and he's from Seattle, Washington. I went and saw it in 2004 in its entirety.
Okay.
And since then, I've tried to contact him to see how we can get it to this area. How can I help you get it to this area? Finally, one day he said, I'll send it to you.
Wow.
So now I have it.
And now you have it. And it travels around?
I'm trying to tour it.
Okay.
This will be my third showing.
And this is a partnership that we have with Meridian Township, so that's what got you to this area. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, so tell me, I mean, everything about it, but I mean, how much upkeep do these quilts require?
Nothing. Just nothing at all. Keep them stored and dry and in totes, you know, sealed containers.
And in the years that you've been involved, have you ever met any family or friends of the 9/11 victims?
Yes. When I was in Berrien Springs, we met a lady. Her friend, I do believe, was on the plane heading for a vacation.
Oh, wow.
They were going to Hawaii.
Okay.
And she had left a note on the table at her house that if anything happens to her, to keep the house for her dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And needless to say, the planes went down. And so she was there and took pictures of the quilt block with her name on it and her husband's name, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then in Fort Wayne, we met another person, his niece had died in the towers. And because it was on the anniversary, her parents were in New York for the anniversary celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And he came and he took a picture of her block and had her picture with him.
mm-hmm. to take with the block. So
tell me about how the blocks are laid out. You said it was, is there like one block per name?
Well,
or does that
there
vary?
Are 300 quilt panels mm-hmm. with 25 blocks
okay.
per panel.
Okay.
And the names are scattered periodically throughout the quilts. Mm-hmm. It'll have the victim's name and their age. And they're not in any order. Mm-hmm. But we do have books that a person, if they're looking for someone, name, they can ask us, give them the name, and we can tell them where to find it.
Okay.
Very easily.
Okay. Wow. What a really touching kind of project there. So in all the places the quilt has been shown, you talked about meeting some, you know, family or friends and things like that. What's one of the more interesting things that's happened at one of the showings that you've been
well,
a part of?
Well, in Fort Wayne, the most interesting I thought was when we explained the quilts mm-hmm. And showed how, or told them, this small group, how to find the victim's name in the large print. This man looked up and he said, "That was my friend."
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he knew someone. He didn't think he'd find it, but mm-hmm. just it was there.
Wow.
In the very first quilt.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there are people that know people. In the information we have in the books, it says everybody's from New York that died. Well, yeah, they lived there. Mm-hmm. But there are family and friends elsewhere
sure.
in the country. So
right.
when you go somewhere, it's amazing to find people that are looking for a name.
Right. And with, you know, with that such a large number of people, mm-hmm. you know, there's a connection.
Yes.
Everybody seems to have somebody or knows somebody or a relative or a
right.
friend or something like that. That's
correct.
Really amazing. Yeah. Well, so being a part of this, how has this project touched your life?
It's made me learn a lot.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, Amy's vision was to take it on tour around mm-hmm. the country. I would like to do that to the best of my ability. I'm trying. Mm-hmm. This is my fourth showing or third showing. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. No, well, it's a great thing to take around to people, and it's certainly mm-hmm. a remembrance for many. And
sure.
there already now is a generation that, you know, wasn't right. alive or born,
right.
you know, and,
right.
which is hard to believe. But
mm-hmm.
so this is a very historical kind of
yes.
significance to it.
And also the day 9/11 happened, it changed our lives forever.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It just did.
mm-hmm. Well, so why is this memorial quilt important for the community to see? I mean, people know of...
It's history.
The event. Mm-hmm.
It's history, and
yeah, and something we hope will never be repeated.
Yeah,
but it's still a very good way to document a very
right.
important part of American
right.
history for sure.
Yeah, and so we never forget.
Never forget. That's right. That's right. Well, people can check out the World Trade Center Memorial Quilt at the Meridian Mall in the Southeast Wing, Friday, September 8th through Monday, September 11th. And you can get all the times at cattle.org/events. And people can come out and see it here in this area. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes. Well, thank you for coming and sharing a beautiful quilt. We'll have some pictures that we can take and put up for people to see as they're listening to this and want to know more. And thank you for your involvement in all of this.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. And that about wraps up our very first Cattlecast. What do you think?
I think it was a good show, Mark.
I do too. A special thanks to Beverly Kuman, Bob Hoffman and Tara Poplowski, Jessica Trotter, Sherry McConnell, Mari Salagarza, and of course Scott Dimstra for all their insights. The library does so, so much, and lots of good stuff coming down in the future. We hope you will join us again on our next Cattlecast. Until then, I'm Mark Bezita. Thanks for joining us. So long.